This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis riding out on old Dan again at this time, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. Come on, Dan, let's go. Got to get up. Got to get a-getting. Got to get out to find the folks standing around out there at the old sawmill or down at the creek or down at the little country church or maybe out there on the old 18-wheeler heading up and down the highway. Somewhere there's God's people the Lord has caused to tune in to the old Trailblazer broadcast. So we happy to be with you folks at this time. Old Trailblazer, Pastor Pendarvis, just an old sinner saved by grace. And this is our regular Trailblazer broadcast coming out day by day, week after week. And we're on this station same time every day. And I wish I could hear from some of you over there in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and different places. I'd like to hear from some of y'all folks. Let us hear from you. We're looking at this study on the Hebrews, 11th chapter of Hebrews. And we've been studying Enoch. How Enoch was translated. The Lord took him. He never experienced death like you and I will. But the Lord took him. He said he walked with the Lord. And he was removed from earth to heaven. Now, my friend, there's nothing stand between the saved sinner and the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. Because we have passed from death unto life. Now, let me tell you something else. Let's take a hold of it, as old Trailblazer used to say. The new birth is a supernatural thing. It's a miracle. I often tell my folks here that it's a miracle when the Lord saves a sinner. But it's a miracle of God's grace. Bare knowledge of the doctrine is practically worthless. Just to have a head knowledge of that doctrine doesn't mean anything. We have so much of that now, of what we call dry-eyed religion. There's nothing heartfelt there. It's just a doctrine. We have a little booklet here by Pastor Shelton entitled Doctrinitis. I wish you'd write me and get it. It's free and postpaid. It refutes a lot of this stuff that you hear today. But listen, it's another thing to live in the realm of life. Did you get that? It's one thing to believe that you are judicially passed from death to life, but it's another thing to live in the realm of life and to know the life of the Son of God. Now, my friend, that's what we contend for here day by day, and that's the battleground in this assembly and every other assembly where they're preaching God's way of grace, and the way of grace is a battleground. Now, Apostle Paul said, I live, yet not I, but Christ which liveth in me. That's Galatians 2:20. Christ is our light. I wish every one of you could realize that there's a vast difference in believing you have the light and then living in the realm of light and knowing the life of Christ, which is by faith. Living in the realm of the light, of light. Christ opens a door into the realm of light for a sinner. Before that, you lived in the realm of death. That's right. Now, we hear this oftentimes. Oh, you don't expect us to live the translated life today in the midst of such power of sin, do you? That's what folks say, till it makes me sick. I've heard deacons and preachers and Bible teachers and average church members say, oh, those are Bible characters. You don't expect us to live like that today, do you? That's what they say. Why do they say that? Because they have no knowledge. They have no knowledge of Christ. But remember that when Enoch lived, times were just as wicked as they are today. I believe it could, if there was any possibility, maybe more, may have been more wicked. And Enoch was just a typical old sinner. I wish you could read the 14th and 15th verses of Jude. Let's turn to it and read it. It won't take but a minute. Turn right over there to the book of Jude, and let's read that 14th and 15th verses. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now that's what he preached. That was his message. Enoch's message was a message of judgment. Enoch's message primarily was a message of the second coming of Christ. The first, and he looked beyond. There are two great mountain peaks in the Old Testament, and I wish you could see them. One, the first one is the coming of Christ. Second is the second coming of Christ. And these old prophets stood there on the mountain peaks of the scriptures, looking into the future of the kingdom of Christ, many of the things they didn't see down in the valley. But we have in the New Testament, listen, but they were true. They were true to the Word of God in all that they had. In the midst of these perilous times, divine grace made this an actual experience in the life of Enoch. He walked with God. That's what the Scripture said. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, friend. You can walk with the Lord. You can walk with the Lord. That's right. Day by day, walking with the Lord. Enoch walked with the Lord 300 years. And I wouldn't mind if the Lord delayed his coming with you and give us strength and grace to walk with the Lord for 300 years. Wouldn't that be grace? But listen, you say, oh my, Pastor, you can know the Lord. It's a personal salvation. He's real. You walk with him, talk with him, love him, worship him, obey him. Enoch walked with the Lord. Now let me say this. While we gratify the flesh, the blessings of the Spirit will be withheld. Now, have you ever heard that statement before? While we gratify the flesh, while we serve the flesh, while we live after the world, the blessings of the Spirit will be withheld. While our hearts are so much occupied with the things of the earth, he will not make the things of heaven real. No, and experimental to our hearts as they should be. No, he just won't do it. Faith that walks with God comes by divine revelation. And faith must have a firm foundation in which to rest upon. That foundation must be the word of faith, the word of him that cannot lie. God spoke, Enoch believed. That's right. Now that's the testing of our faith in yours and mine. We're not willing for our lives to be conformed to the word of God, and I find that that's much trouble that we have today. Folks want to just get by, just want to live. Listen, we ought to be molded. We should be molded by the word of the Lord. Now, that's the trouble with men and women today that I find. That's the reason we don't have men of faith like we often had and women of faith as should be walking with the Lord. I see that over the period of time of my life, how that the religious life, the Christian life has been watered down and diluted down to where you don't have old men of God went about the land crying, repent, repent, like John the Baptist. We don't have that anymore, do we? You know what we have today, my friend? We have these flashy televangelists and radio preachers and all those folks that travel up and down the land in one of these big caravans with an 18-wheeler with a tent in it, and they put up. Now those fellas, they don't use those tents no more like they used to. They used to come through here and put up a tent and put sawdust on the floor and all of those things, but now they have these television studios with the waterfalls behind them and the swaying palm trees and all of those things, and the cameras pan the audience, and you can look out there and see those folks. Oh, my friend, what a motley crew. What a motley crew. But listen, we don't have those great old preachers anymore, do we? Like the Charles Spurgeon and Whitfield and A.W. Pink and John Bunyan. We don't have those anymore. Wouldn't you like to live back there during the days of John Bunyan? You know, they had to go in a housetop in a barn to preach, to turn off all the, cut off all the lights, the lanterns, whatever they had. And Mr. Bunyan was put in prison for preaching. They told him if he'd shut up preaching, they'd let him out. But he wouldn't do it. He kept preaching, so they put him in jail. And the jailer had a feeling for him. After a while, he was there for a good while, and he would let Mr. Bunyan out at night, and he would go home and preach in his house and get back in his cell before daylight. So he said one night Bunyan was moved by a strange something dealt with his heart. He got up and went back to the jail early. And when the jailer, after he'd gotten there, the jailer didn't know for sure, but someone had warned him that he was out, and they come looking for him. They went in there, and there he was, laying in his bed, snoring away. Isn't that the providence of God, my friend? You believe in the providence of God? Sure I do. He would have been probably hung if they'd have found him outside the jail. You and I not studying and reading the God's word as we should? No one. No, you don't know that. No, I want the Lord to have his way in my life. Do you? All right, take the word and read it. Study it, read it, reread it, read it some more. Until every move you make, every breath is the breathing of the word. Every move that you make is directed by the word of God. It's the foundation of your faith, and you and your life will be molded by the word. And the word is the foundation of our faith. Is that clear? Am I making that halfway clear, my friend? Listen, I hope so. I'm getting down right where we live, aren't I? As the old fellow said, we're down where the rubber meets the road. Am I making myself clear? I hope so. Let me go back and mention that. I want the Lord to have his way in my life. Do you? Take the word and read it. Study it. Hide it in your heart. Every move that you make will be controlled by the Lord and directed by the word. And for it's the foundation of your faith. And we're making that just as clear as we can. All right. Now, we've got to have a foundation to rest that faith on. And the foundation is the word of the Lord. It is. You say the Lord has saved you. All right. Let's live by the word. Let's read it. Let's meditate upon it. As I said, until we breathe the word of God. It's our life. It's our eating. It's our drinking. It's our food as we sit there. It's the Holy Spirit takes it and shows us the things of Christ and directs our lives by the word. Now, will you let me say this to you? There's a promise in this book for every moment of our life if we'll only study it and meditate upon it. And I want to give you this, recommend this book to you. We have here by Mr. Herbert Lockyer. We have he has a whole series of books, but he has one entitled All the Promises of God. I've been recommending it highly, and folks are buying it. But you write me, and I'll quote you a price on it. I don't have it with me in the studio at this time. But listen, it'll give you every promise that the Lord ever made. And I ask you this, have you ever read a promise or had a promise that the Lord didn't keep? Have you ever known of the Lord going back on any of his promises? No, you can't say that. You haven't. You just hadn't do it. The Lord doesn't do that. The Lord doesn't lie. The Lord, you know, we often compare that with Satan. He can't tell the truth. But our Lord never lies to us, my friend. His word is sure. It'll stand. It's the foundation of our hope. And that's what we have. We have his word right here in front of us. We have the Holy Bible. And if you'd read it and study it, and then write and get this book on by Mr. Lockyer, All the Promises of God, and we'll quote you a price on it, and then send it to you. But if you would, you write and get it, and then I've mentioned that book by Pastor Shelton on Doctrinitis. That'll be a good blessing to you. That's free, a little pamphlet. And if you would write me, I'll send that to you. But this is the Old Trailblazer. We bring into these studies on the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We're really just getting started, and the Lord has given us grace to come here and day by day and bring these studies, and you pray for me. Will you do that? Old Trailblazer is not very smart. He doesn't have much going for him, but you pray for me. Ask the Lord to take all these things that I mess up and straighten them out and bring them to you where you can read them, hear them, understand them. And if you would, I appreciate it. And remember, the Old Trailblazer address is the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Until next time, goodbye, and God bless you, and let me hear from you. Angels.